Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki and Bree are here. Jacob will show up whenever the fuck Jacob shows the fuck up. How are you two doing?
Eh, pretty good.
Better today. Here.
Yeah.
Better than Jacob.
Aww.
Nah, he got called into work, so life happened. I just like to bust his balls because it's...
Yeah.
It's more fun when he's not here and he can't defend himself.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of prefer when he is here to try and defend himself, because then we can make fun of that, too.
True. True. It's just fun to make fun of him either way.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah. How were your weeks?
Busy.
Not great.
Lonely.
Aw.
Injuries away, dog sitting.
Oh.
So, yeah. It's been a lonely couple of days. I miss him. And then he's going to go from there to his work weekend, where I don't see him all weekend, basically. So that sucks.
Well, if you need someone to hang out with,
thank you.
Joe and I, I'm sure, can both hang out with you.
Yep.
I love how I volunteered, Joe. I don't even ask. I'm just like, yeah, Joe will hang out.
Saturday, you could come watch wrestling with us. It's going to be a tribute to the wrestler who passed away last weekend.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Yeah, this past Wednesday show, like, we did our Wrestlecast on Tuesday, and we were like, I think Wednesday's going to be an emotional show. And then Wednesday night happened, and, like, after the first hour, everyone was, like, on mute half the time, sobbing. Because it was a tribute show to one of their wrestlers who has ALS. And it is terminal, and this was basically a farewell to her and to her character. And like, she came on, she did an appearance, she came out, helped her former partner win a match, and they celebrated, and it was a really happy, sad, it was nice to watch, but it was hard to watch. And then they had a brief tribute to Andy. Excalibur, the announcer, was trying to get through a speech about him passing away, and he was just choking up and sobbing at the end. And it was hard to watch, because, you know, you could just feel that pain.
Yep.
So he was very beloved in the music and wrestling scene. There, I have seen zero negative comments about Andy Williams.
Good.
My cat is very interested in all the things I have sitting in front of me, and I'm like terrified she's gonna like try and lick something.
Speaking of things in front of us, did you see all the spoilers that are in front of everyone because of Steam this week?
Oh my gosh.
Nope.
Yes.
Oh wait, yes, the achievement list. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
There was a massive Steam leak that revealed achievement lists for tons of high-profile upcoming titles and a few unannounced games as well. Full achievement lists for games like Persona 6, Stranger Than Heaven, Kingdom Hearts 4, Fable, and many, many, many others.
Oh, wow.
Lee Brady of True Achievements, meanwhile, was proudly posting Kingdom Hearts spoilers in the fucking title of the article.
What a dick.
He revealed two of the worlds in the title of the article.
Wow.
Like, well, I thought they would be revealed in press stuff. Like, yeah, when they're ready to reveal them. Not now, you dick. It is not your duty to ruin the game and ruin the world reveals for everyone else. Like, I'm not going to talk about any of the spoilers because I don't want to ruin anything for anybody. But I think it's ballsy that they did that. I personally requested a statement from TA explaining why they allowed it to go up, why they allowed it to go for so long, and why no reply was given. I got no reply from them, obviously. Why would they? People called them out in the comments for well over a day, and it took only until about 5 p.m. today for them to be like, oh, we're sorry. We didn't think it would be a big deal. We were just really excited. Sorry it took so long to address it. Like, the delay in addressing it is what has people pissed off, because that could have been addressed in the first 10 minutes the article went live and people were saying, why are you posting spoilers in the title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is ballsy, and shame on True Achievements for allowing that to happen. I thought better of the site. I thought better, but they have gone downhill big time lately.
I was glad someone thought better of them.
It's a helpful site. It's great with guides, and it's great with finding achievement information. But
yeah, that is,
you know,
true.
If they're going to just spoil news and spoil games, like not spoil news, but spoil games, like worlds that were not revealed for Kingdom Hearts were in the title of their article.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
That's very fucked up. It has since been changed, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only problem is about everybody has probably already fucking seen it at this point.
Yeah.
Thanks to them waiting.
I unknowingly saw it because I went back to just go look for it. And yeah, it has changed. It's still in the... not the title, but the blurb underneath it.
Yeah.
What the spoilers are, but I did see it in the title, you're right. And I just continued on without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up. Yeah, the two worlds they revealed were Walt Disney's sex dungeon and Jacob's bedroom.
Yeah.
Which are the same.
Are those not the same place?
Yeah, they are. That's why I'm mad that they revealed them. It was like a big twist in the game.
Speaking of Jacob, I hope that we are able to get to news before he gets here so that I can roll in 2 points of news for him. Because I know they're on his list.
Disney.
Do it.
There is Disney Dreamlight Valley news.
I know, but it's like midway through the second Nintendo Direct. But
I know.
Well,
I know.
Let's get to the
There's
first
one. There's
also
another point of news.
Let's get to more news. The Nintendo Direct had not one, but two events this week. Day one was a Zelda 40th Anniversary Direct. This was a fairly brief one, not too much important stuff, but showed off a lot of Ocarina of Time remake. They started off April 30th, Legend of Zelda film will release. There is no subtitle, it's just The Legend of Zelda.
Fair.
Yay. Nintendo Museum will get Zelda style tickets for about a year. Nifty.
Okay.
If you're in Japan. Okay. There are going to be new Zelda amiibo, new Lego set, a playable ocarina, a bunch of other merch. They're going to do a series of concerts with 5 dates in Japan from January through April. A North American tour will start in February. A European tour will start in April, and an Australian tour in May.
Okay. Interesting. So,
keep an eye out for tour dates. If there's anything close, I might have to check that out. They reiterated Ocarina of Time remake coming out November 5th. It will use Zelda notes in the Switch app to do stats like things like stats, gossip quests to earn points for in-app Ocarina songs, and a quiz with over 2,000 questions.
Okay, then.
Yeah. More amiibo they talked about. Young Link and Young Zelda are going to be coming, which will give masks in the game. Nifty.
Okay.
And then the big stuff. Zelda-themed console coming out October 29th. It is already sold out basically everywhere and going for stupid prices thanks to scalpers on eBay. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous console.
Next thing no one will have unless they want to pay puku bucks now.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. They're also doing a pro controller in carrying case and then a special pro controller with a stand only at the Nintendo World stores.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Nifty. Looking at the pictures of it now, it is very pretty.
The console. Man. I have a Switch too, and I'm like, oh, could I get one?
I mean, you could. I don't think you need it, but
I definitely could. I don't need it, but I get one.
It's pretty.
I wonder.
You are a consumer whore. You can definitely get it. I promise.
It's true. He is.
Jacob, did you see the Zelda console?
Nah.
Look it up quick.
It's the Switch 2. Yeah.
Switch 2 Zelda console.
Just look at images. It's pretty.
It is.
Is this black and like golden dark green?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah, that is pretty.
Yeah.
Shit. Like if I wasn't like so stuck to Xbox and everything, and also if the Switch didn't like maim my hands every time I try to play it for 5 minutes, that would be a sexy console for me. Yeah, I know. We've got one for me, but you know, yeah.
I'd rather complain. That was day one of the Nintendo Direct. Like I said, that was a quickie. Nothing too special there. I do want that console really bad, but I know it's never going to happen.
No, probably not. No.
Nah. Nintendo Direct Day 2, Electric Boogaloo. Oh my god. For the people who were complaining about Day 1 not having a lot of stuff, Day 2.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It was just reveal after reveal after reveal. There's not a lot of new stuff that was revealed, but there are a lot of games coming to Switch 2 that are exciting for Switch 2 gamers. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be multi-platform that was revealed. They started off Monster Hunter Wilds will be hitting the Switch 2 December 4th.
Nice.
And they'll finally get to join the party there. They had a new trailer for Final Fantasy VII Revelation coming out April 8th. And then they announced Crisis Core Reunion was out today on the Switch 2.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's a good play on a handheld.
Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity Definitive Edition is going to be coming out February 25th. It includes all the DLC and harder difficulty mode. There will be a discount if you own the original, and the save data will transfer.
Nice.
Yes, very good for that. Mecha Chameleon is out today. It is a hide-and-seek game where you paint your body to hide.
Yeah, I've been watching that on Steam. It looks fun.
I don't know what to think of this one. Like, this needs an audience to survive, and if it doesn't get one, it's DOA. It's like, it reminds me of Kiln, and like, who's this for?
Streamers. That game is already for streamers. They've been streaming that like
for a year. So my team at work, my team at work, we they do a gaming thing once a month. And that was actually what they were playing a couple weeks ago.
Nice. I haven't heard of it, so it's taken off.
They really liked it. So
I just the painting is where they lose me. I'm down for hide and seek, but I'm not skilled enough to paint.
Nor are most of the people who are using it. It's fine. That's the point. True.
Pocopia is getting DLC stuff later this year. Star Fox is getting a free update with a local battle mode and new battle map September 29th. And on the back of that, Star Fox Adventures hits GameCube Classics today. So play the final rare game for GameCube.
Very nice.
There you go. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Remastered will be hitting September 29th.
Very nice.
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 Royal Edition will be getting a Switch 2 release next year.
That's pretty impressive.
That they're getting
that's a big game.
Big of a game down onto Switch 2. I guess working with the Series S has made things like that a lot easier.
I would imagine so.
And people bitch about the Series S holding things back. They're helping development. That's my thoughts.
I agree.
Fire Emblem Fortunes Weave is out September 17th. That one looks really good. Professor Layton in the New World of Steam comes out December 10th. I am very disappointed that Level 5 put out two games on Xbox last year and they're skipping Xbox with this one.
Yeah, that makes me a little sad too. Yeah.
Very disappointed in that one. Yo-Kai Watch 2 Haunted Domain is in development.
Nice.
So that's a thing. Pikmin 4 is getting a Switch 2 edition with a new Dandori Academy feature, where you can do like weekly tests of planning out how to complete a level. You have the week to practice, and then you take the test, and you are compared against the leaderboard of how well everyone else did.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nothing I think I would ever care about, but they're also adding 9 voice commands to the game. 9. Yeah, to control the dog. That'll be out November 12th.
All right, nifty.
Next was a new game, Onyx the Dark Grip. It is only playable in handheld, and it is going to be an exclusive from Bloober Team coming out next year.
Yeah, it makes me wish I had a Switch 2, because that was like the one game that really caught my attention. I'm a big fan of Bloober Team stuff, and it looked pretty cool.
Well, if I get that Zelda one, I'll sell you mine.
Uh-huh.
Xenoblade Chronicles 3 Switch 2 Edition is coming December 3rd with a new Survivor-style mode and a new hero named Shimmer.
Nifty.
Yep. Stage Fright from Hello Games is a co-op adventure game from the developers of Overcooked. Comes out next year.
That game looks so good.
It looks cute, yeah.
And then Bree, I'm sorry, but Jacob's here. I'm going to have to let him take this part.
I know.
Disney Dreamlight Valley, the Keepsake Sea, is releasing in November. Jacob, give us the details on what is in the Keepsake Sea.
So we've already known about the Mermaid Tales, so we're going to get to go under the sea. If anybody wants to pretend to be Sebastian for a second.
No.
Nope. I'm trying my hardest not to, so no.
Okay. All right. Fine. Fair enough. All right. So anyways, so we get these mermaids in this.
Oh, and we are getting raided. Hold on.
Oh, damn it. Who are we getting raided by?
Why? Trivium Champ, welcome in with you and your party of 4. Party of 5 was a good show. Jennifer Love Hewitt was hot.
Never watched it.
Okay, Jennifer Love Hewitt was really... And Nev Campbell.
Yay! I'm not really a Nev Campbell fan. Jennifer Love Hewitt, though.
Yeah. Latino Heat, thank you for the 42-month sub on a 14-month streak. Always good seeing you here. Enjoy the kitty cats and the emotes and those bonus contest entries for whenever we get something up later during reviews. But yeah, Disney Dreamlight, what's going on there?
So as I said, we already knew about the Mermaid Tales, or at least we surmised about it. We now have official confirmation. Yes, you're going to get to turn into a mermaid for some of the stuff. And we knew about Captain Jack Sparrow, but who else was coming? We didn't really know. And it has been revealed we are getting Meg from Hercules, which...
Oh, I thought it was Meg from Family Guy.
No. Shut up, Meg. Anyway,
she's a Disney princess.
Is she?
Fox?
No.
Disney owns Fox?
Oh, we're talking about Meg from Family Guy? Yeah, no. Anyway, but the big thing that got everybody excited about was Milo from Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Atlantis stuff has been hinted since the very beginning of Disney Dreamlight Valley, and now, like, it... I don't want to call it coming full circle, but like, holy crap, it's about freaking time. Also,
give me Kida and I'll care.
You what?
Give me Kida and I'll care. I don't care about Milo.
I mean, she'll probably come along soon. Like, you got Milo in there, so hell yeah. But also, if you're doing the Star Path, you only have like 10 days left. So, you know, get on it.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Any other info on Disney?
It comes out in November.
It's a paid expansion?
It is, yeah. I don't think they listed what day it is yet, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think this might be able to unseat, you know, Grand Theft Auto 6. So,
sure.
You know, everybody's going to be playing Disney Dreamlight Valley. Totally.
I don't believe you.
Rude.
All right. After that, Onde Kaya's Tasty Tale is coming out in 2027. I spent more time trying to write the title for this than I could spend watching the video.
Fair.
Did anyone have anything?
I don't know anything about it.
I just remember that it looked cute.
I don't know much about it. Was that the World Builder one?
I have no idea. It's supposedly hitting everything, though, so that's all I know about it.
Okay. Yep, sorry, I didn't get any news on that one.
Yeah, me neither.
I must have, like,
we're bad glazed at our over. Jobs.
I glazed over. I, you know, some of these, like, my eyes just kind of crossed, and...
Yeah, that's
fair. Yeah, I saw it in the Steam calendar thing, like, last week. So that's what I know about it, is it looked cute. That's all I can remember at this point. I'm not good at my job.
None of us are. Lego Batman Legacy of Darkness is going to be hitting Switch 2 September 18th.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yay. Kirby Air Riders is getting new amiibo figures. They are big and they are expensive. Apparently the big ones are going to be like $60.
Wow.
Eesh.
Remember when these fucking things were 12?
Mm.
The cheap ones are 25.
Yikes.
Oh, I am so glad I don't collect amiibo anymore.
Wait, you mean like that's how much they cost nowadays?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, because
yeah,
I was...
Amiibo or 25, minimum.
Because I was excited about the Mega Man and Proto Man ones that they announced for Dual Override that's coming out next year. Because I was like, oh, well, I'll pick these up instead of having to like hunt for the ones that were out like 10 years ago, you know? But $25 a pop? Yeah, fuck
I'll warn you, it'll probably be a 2-pack for 40. Maybe 45.
Well, I'll warn you, I'm not spending fucking that much money.
You're not warning me, I'm warning you.
I'm fucking warning your ass.
Warn your fucking face. I'll fucking... Karen from the Game Bakers is coming to Switch 2 early 2027 with a demo out today.
Yes.
Resident Evils 2, 3, and 4 remakes are all hitting Switch 2 October 16th.
Awesome. Hopefully they enjoy that. Those games were great.
Indeed. Tomb Raider Legacy of Atlantis hitting Switch 2 February 12th.
Nice. Now I know when that's releasing. Very nice. Yep.
Switch Sports Resort is adding an open world exploration mode with collectibles in Woohoo Island. It will also have an offline champions mode. That game is coming out October 22nd. Might have to pick this one up. I haven't picked up a Switch game in a while, but I've always loved the Switch Sports and Wii Sports and that stuff.
Fair.
After that, a new one, Metroid Ravenous. It is a new 2D Metroid where Samus gets to consume enemies.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, releases January 28th. There will be two new amiibo and a special edition of the game with a steelbook and a third special amiibo.
More fanfic writers are fapping furiously right now.
That is on the Nintendo store now for $119, and it is available for pre-purchase now, so it is not gone yet.
Nifty.
I am very much considering that one. Mario Kart World just got 10 new Super Nintendo courses in a free update that day.
Nice.
Cool.
They are playable in single player and just like where you pick the tracks instead of doing any kind of circuit racing. It's just like the select a single race kind of mode. I wish it was easier to I tried browsing through and finding the courses. It is such a pain in the ass to find courses in that game because you have to circle around a map and like pick the icons and then look at what tracks are on that one. And it's just give me a list, man.
Fair. Yeah, that sounds like that'd be fucking irritating to me too. So
yeah.
Fair.
Mega Man Dual Override has playable Proto Man, and there will be Mega Man and Proto Man amiibo coming in spring.
Cute.
All right.
Next up was a gorgeous looking indie RPG called Eternal Anima from Marvelous USA. It looks to be in the vein of Chrono Trigger, where it's a couple of RPG vets coming together to make a retro game that is kind of like the best of what they've done. So
nice.
The most shocking thing about this, it is coming to Xbox.
Ooh.
Nice.
Marvelous doesn't release much on Xbox at all. The Muramasa remake isn't coming to Xbox, which still has me annoyed. But at least we're getting this one. Hopefully this does well, and that'll convince him to do more on Xbox.
One can hope.
Danganronpa 2X2 is coming out January 14th.
Hell yeah.
That'll be on everything. Fatal Fury City of the Wolves launching on Switch 2 October 22nd with a physical edition coming out in January.
Awesome.
Metal Slug Ultimate Collection will have a collection of Metal Slugs 1 through 7, Advance, some other stuff, and the location test version of the original game where it was basically just the tank.
Interesting.
No on-foot segments, yeah. So they're going to have all that in a new compilation next year.
That's cool. Nice. I like that.
I'm excited about that one. Yu-Gi-Oh! Tag Force GX, February 16th.
Meh.
And then Romancing Saga 3, Destinies United, also February 16th. And it's hitting everything, so we'll get that one on Xbox as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Square. Now it's sizzle reel time. I hope I got everything here.
Because, I have a list.
Oh my God. It was just one after another. 007 First Light this year.
Yep.
Far Cry 3 Classic, spring 2027.
Fuck yeah.
Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, spring 2027.
Yep. Super fuck yeah.
The Crew Motor Fest, October 8th.
Mm. Yep.
The Apothecary Diaries, early 2027.
I am so fucking pissed that is not coming to Xbox.
Isn't it?
Like, no, they announced it for Switch 2, PS5, and Steam. And Xbox is nowhere to be fucking found on that announcement. And I swear to God, it's the only anime that my wife and I both enjoy watching together. And God damn it, like, why isn't there an Xbox version, you fucks?
Write them.
Ugh.
I never even heard of it, so...
It's good. It's like a murder mystery kind of show.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, there's no anime boobies, but, you know, like...
House Flipper 2, October 15th.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Very nice.
I'd really be excited about that one. Sonic Pico Park, November 12th.
Okay.
All right.
Dragon Quest Monsters out December 3rd with a demo today.
Mm-hmm.
Demo on everything. Tornico's Mystery Dungeon out today.
Nice.
Don't know that one.
A remake of like the original Mystery Dungeon game from Dragon Quest, and it's on everything.
Yeah, that was like a big shadow drop. Yeah.
That blew my mind. As soon as I saw the trailer had an Xbox logo, I fired up the store. I'm like, I'm buying this. I don't give a fuck how much it costs.
Much did it cost?
25, which isn't horrible. It's a Square game.
Yeah, I mean, like, that seems to be standard for them.
Yeah, it's like, 20 would have been better, I'm sure, but whatever. Square tax. Oh, well. Hella comes out December 1st, and that will not only be on everything, but it's a Game Pass game, too.
Yeah. That looks good. I'm excited.
Yeah, it does.
Eric's Home, December 3rd.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
I'm glad for him.
Stellar Blade comes out November. Who's Eric's Home?
Eric's Home, like Eric's home December 3rd. I was like, oh, good for him. Whatever. I hate you.
It's good. Stellar Blade comes out November 5th with Bayonetta DLC.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stellar Blade, November 5th, Switch 2, Bayonetta DLC.
Enjoy your AI-filled game. Yes.
Okay, weird, but all right.
What's weird about it?
I don't know anything about Stellar. Like, are the two series even related?
No.
Stellar Blade was a PlayStation exclusive that for some reason is getting released on Switch 2, but not Xbox, and now is getting Bayonetta DLC.
The reason why it's getting Bayonetta DLC, since you apparently need an explanation, Bayonetta's hot. The
yeah,
end.
No shit.
That's why it's getting it.
That, I'm super well needed. Aware of that, Aki. Like, my God.
You seem so obvious. Confused, so I just had to make sure you understood.
Jacob, obvious. Do you understand Bayonetta's hot? Yes, of course I fucking understand Bayonetta's
Jacob,
hot.
Jacob, did you know boobs are cool?
Oh, what?
They're the tits.
That's why we keep Bree around right there. Yep.
Hold on, I got a button for this. I love that one. The Ascent is going to be hitting Switch 2 in December.
That's cool.
That's a fun
game.
That's
the one where you have to like climb the mountain thing, right?
No.
No.
No. Nope. Okay.
This is.
I'm thinking of Ascension. Never mind.
Yeah. It Takes Two, October 15th.
Nice.
Palia
Switch 2 Edition, December.
Okay.
Bluey's Happy Snaps, October 15th.
Not gonna lie, I want to play that.
It's on Game Pass.
I know. I'm excited that it's coming to Game Pass.
Yeah.
Hot Wheels Infinite Rush out today.
I'm amazed Jacob isn't losing his shit over these things, but okay.
And he's been playing.
That's because you have to wait for my review next week.
yeah, he doesn't need to lose his shit when he's playing it already.
Fair. That's fair. All right.
Fading Echoes, September 17th, with a demo out today.
Cool. Nice.
Hell Is Us, October 8th.
Oh, wow. Right. It's still surprising to see what kind of games can get on these little handhelds. I'm baffled.
I mean, Switch 2 is a beefy system.
Mm.
It's got some power under there.
My mind, the handhelds are just little dinky things still, though. I know they're not, but that's in my head. That's just how I have associated it. Cause it's like Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. That's in my mind handhelds. That's all they are.
Yeah.
You know, you missed a whole bunch of other handhelds over the years.
Yes, I did. Those are the only ones I'm familiar with because I didn't have any of the others.
You know, like 30 years has passed in that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy Encore Edition, November 5th.
Yeah, that's cool.
I wonder if that's going to hit other platforms, like if they're going to do
an Encore Series Edition.
PS5 version, native version with all the content and whatever else.
Yeah, if so, I'll totally play it.
Yeah. New video for Persona 4 Revival coming out May 20th, and then they showed a Persona 6 logo, which was spoiled by the fact that all the achievements are already out.
Yeah.
And then
but the last thing wasn't spoiled.
One final game. Everyone thought we were getting a Smash game. I was like, you were all fools. It is not happening. It did not happen. Instead, we're getting an open world Kirby game. Hell yes.
I know. It looks so cute, too.
I didn't know that I needed that until you said that. Okay, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, my youngest is going to be thrilled about that.
It comes out in spring, so it's not even that far away.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I had some nostalgia just at the music. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that was Nintendo Direct. Really, really good show. If you were looking for new reveals, I could see why you hated it. But if you were just looking for a lot of games coming to the Switch 2, they fucking delivered.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
anything, they could have over-delivered. There were... could there have been too many games revealed?
Maybe.
No.
Like, that sizzle reel at the end. Oh, my God. I'm just, like, I'm typing as fast as I can. I have so many typos that I had to decipher while rereading everything. Some more news. Big, big twist in publishing rights for a game this week. It turns out a few months ago, Sony canceled their Kojima project, PhysInt.
Yeah.
And for 3 months, Kojima was on the search for a new publisher to save the game. And that new publisher is Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people, there are some people reporting that Xbox purchased the rights from Sony. That is not true. They did not acquire the publishing rights from Sony. Sony canceled the game. They informed Kojima they were canceling the game, and Kojima looked for a new publisher. And that's when Xbox stepped in.
Cool.
So, yeah. OD and now PhysInt. I will say, if Xbox doesn't make this an exclusive, they're losing their fucking minds. Like, this is a gift from Sony, basically. They're just... how do they drop their relationship with Kojima, of all people?
Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely weird.
Anyway. Anyway, more news. We missed this last week because of all the Gamescom stuff, but Game Pass announcements were made. Last week, September 1st, we got Shelldiver. September 3rd, we got Speedrunners 2, King of Speed. September 4th, we got Dice a Million. September 8th, we got Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War. And then today on the 10th, we got The Royal Writ and Virtual Fighter 5 Revo World Stage.
Not bad. Not great. Yeah. Not bad either.
Next week, one more game with September 15th giving us RuneScape Dragonwilds.
That's a big one. Yeah.
That's a game that looks like it'll be up your alley, Joe.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Yeah. And then on the 15th, we should also hear about the next 2 weeks of Game Pass. So yes. we shall see what is in the pipeline, because we know Gears is on the way.
Yep.
Minecraft Dungeons is on the way. Dune is on the way. Mm-hmm. Some good stuff. Can't all be good news. A lot of games are leaving Game Pass on the 15th. Big list. You ready for all these?
No, but go ahead.
Commandos Origins, Cricket 24, Cyberpunk 2077, Dead Cells, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, Frostpunk 2 on the PC, Mullet Mad Jack, Spiritfarer, Superliminal, and Train Sim World 5.
Okay, there's some big ones and some large file-sized ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of games leaving.
There's some good ones in there.
But, yeah. While we are talking game catalogs, let's talk about the PlayStation Plus game catalog, because they are also getting some games this month. Today, they got Date Everything.
Nice.
Yes. Fantastic game. Love that game.
September 15th, they're getting WWE 2K26. Pretty solid.
That's a game.
And RuneScape Dragonwilds.
Oh.
So that will be on both services launch day. That's pretty awesome.
Very nice. Love when stuff like that happens. That's great. Everyone gets to play it together and enjoy it.
Indeed. September 22nd, they're getting Ball Pit and Slitterhead.
Nice. Slitterhead looked really good. I have not had a chance to actually play that yet.
And then September 29th, they're getting Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, Dungeons of Hinterberg, and they have Sniper Elite Resistance listed, but that's one of their monthly games. So I don't know what's going on with that.
There's some decent games.
So yeah, good month there. And then the PS Plus Premium is getting two-ish games. kind of. They're getting Mega Man X Command Mission from the PS2, which is an actual classic game, and then Metro Redux for the PS4.
Hmm.
That's a premium retro classic, really?
Oh, that hurts my fucking soul. I'm not old yet. Oh, no. Yeah.
Anyway, three more bits of news I have, some quickies. Don't Nod is looking at closure in January due to running out of funding. If they are unable to find investors, they may be shutting down in a few months.
That's sad. Yeah.
That is very shitty. Hopefully someone steps in to help them.
Yeah.
Onimusha, Way of the Sword, sold a million copies on launch day, with the series passing 10 million units.
Oh, yeah.
Also, if you are looking for a disc copy of the game on Xbox, good fucking luck.
Yeah, they didn't make anywhere near enough.
It's apparently selling out. I think physical is starting to make a comeback because of what Sony did. I think more people are like, you know, I need to grab a disc. And it's part of the disc to digital program. So,
yeah.
Rock on there. Oh, speaking of disc to digital, there's one other thing we could throw in quick. Ubisoft joined.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about that. Got my one Assassin's Creed that I have on disc in there so I can finish playing it since I'm not doing it through Game Pass. But yeah.
And then apparently A Way Out, Split Fiction, and It Takes Two are also added to the program.
Sweet.
Nice.
I hope more EA titles are on the way. Last bit of news I have, Saber Interactive has confirmed there will be no generative AI in their upcoming licensed games like Stuntman, Turok, most importantly, Space Marine 3, and we can presumably thank Games Workshop on that one as the company is 100% against AI use.
Yep.
Good, 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 good. I always like hearing when companies are, fuck AI. That's always nice. They're nice.
Yeah, that is my news. Aki, what do you got?
Okay, well, we missed a piece of Game Pass news, I think, because I don't think we mentioned that last time. They're changing how some of Game Pass works in relation to playing via the cloud.
I think we talked about that last week, didn't we?
We talked about that last week.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought we hadn't hit that. I thought that came out after,
but
that news came out after
there Thursday. there is news to put to that there are reports that people are saying that the limits don't apply to everyone. Some users will be able to continue having more cloud freedom than others, and I don't know what the rules are on that.
In other countries,
and that may have to do with their rules. Okay.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's all the news I had other than the Kojima stuff, so. That's it.
All right, Bree, what do you got?
Sega has announced Dreamcast and Genesis desk chairs. They are limited edition ergonomic chairs priced at $629.
Jesus.
This is in addition to the Sonic themed chair already made by Branch Furniture.
Damn.
So that's a thing. Speaking of things, did you know that you can run Windows NT on a GameCube?
What?
No, I didn't.
Now you can, thanks to some homebrew developers making it bootable there. Why? I don't know. But we can also play Doom on refrigerators, so why the fuck not?
You can play Doom on electronic pregnancy tests.
Yes, exactly.
Shit's crazy.
Because why not? And then my last bit of news, I saw it on the CyanWorld site before. I also saw it on the SML Facebook page. Sorry, Jacob, if you were excited about this like I am. But CyanWorld is starting a Kickstarter soon for hardback book releases of the trilogy of novels about the World of Mist. And as soon as I have a job and that thing is live, I am freaking backing it.
Yeah, I saved that to my Kickstarter.
I did too.
I need a link, like
I will just post it in general real quick. I got it.
Oh, okay.
I saved it in my news. Mist was one of the, Aki,
you know, you could just follow the, you know, SML Facebook page, you know.
I don't have a Facebook, period. I haven't had one in decades.
But yeah, it's the trilogy of books.
This is a reason to get one.
Faux leather, foil stamped covers, bookmark ribbons, sprayed edges, and more. I'm hyped for that. I got rid of my paperbacks because they were so like destroyed after years of sitting on the shelf and being read multiple times, and it'd be nice to have some hardback books. So yeah.
Yeah. I know I've still got my paperback books, but yeah, I wouldn't mind having them as hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with how pretty those things look.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, that's all the news I have.
All right, Jacob, what about you?
All right. So it has been revealed that GameStop no longer makes most of its money from games. In 2025, video games are just a third of its revenue. Or sorry, 2026, it's a third of its revenue compared with 51% in 2025. Most of it's 45% of its sales is collectibles now. So Funko Pops, action figures, baseball cards, all that kind of shit. That is now what GameStop does. Like, I mean, we kind of knew that, but now it's official.
Hmm. Yep, now it's just a random-ass fucking store.
I'm also surprised that we didn't talk about this earlier, but so a bunch of achievement lists got leaked on
Steam. We did.
Yeah, that was right. That was right before you came in.
We are not discussing any of the spoilers that were listed.
Bitch. Yeah. Okay.
I tore True Achievements a new asshole for the fact that they posted Kingdom Hearts spoilers in the title of an article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very pissed off at them for that.
We won't be discussing. Okay. So Sony is reportedly
looking... See, that's what happens when you miss the first 10 minutes of a show.
I had to work. God damn it. I got called in today. Anyway, so Sony is reportedly bringing Killzone back. We don't know anything else about it. They just want to bring it back.
Which one's Killzone?
I have no idea.
That's the one with the helmets. Wasn't Haze also the one with the helmets?
No one talks about Haze.
Well,
yeah. All right. I don't know which one's which.
Killzone was like the dystopian looking one that had like the guys with like the gas mask kind of face and the red, like red or orange eyes.
Did they do drugs or was that Haze?
I thought that was both.
Oh,
like, I remember Haze was definitely like about drugs, but I thought they also did them in Killzone too.
Aki, you're at your computer. Google it.
I don't fucking know.
Sorry, Bing it for reward points.
Huh?
What?
I said Bing it for reward points.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. I Bing every goddamn thing under the sun.
That's fair.
So
I'm at like 40,000 points right now.
I just redeemed 10,000 so I could get Rain World for my kids because they freaking love that game, and it like went off Game Pass last month and it was on sale this week for $10, so I was like, I'll do something for them.
Okay, I was thinking Haze. Okay, yeah.
All right, so speaking of things playing Doom, Google mapped an adult male fruit fly's brain. So naturally, scientists made it play Doom, Mario 64, and Beat Saber. So, turns out fruit flies really suck at playing Doom. However, they're probably better than you at Beat Saber. So,
yeah,
interesting stuff.
Okay, how would they compare to a cow, though?
I don't know. I mean, that cow is fucking playing Eve Online. So,
do you think the cow would be good at Beat Saber?
Probably I don't think it would have the reflexes necessary for it.
Not only that, its color vision isn't anywhere near as good. It might get confused.
I would love to see a cow play Beat Saber.
That's fair. Okay, so IKEA has released an official Skyrim mod starring Matt Berry as a shelf.
Oh, I saw that. Yep.
So it so the mod is called Kallax Storageborn, and you have to help one of the Kallax shelves, which we actually have a couple of these in my house. It's not like just this mod that, you know, it's just up there's a shelf there. Ha ha ha. No, this thing has a damn quest line where you have to help it get its memories back by finding all these objects that used to be stored on it. And as you're progressing through this, you're able to store stuff on the shelves, which will allow you to carry more stuff in your inventory as the shelf follows you around. So, you know, it's available on PC and Xbox. And then, always fuck this part up. Where the fuck's movie? Oh, there
it's is. Movie watch. There.
You know what's the worst part? It's like here I am trying to like search for it on the soundbar, and meanwhile it's right there at top sounds in the SML podcast between Yay and Movie Watch, and then it's also under frequently used.
I'm gonna which, need you to good job, fuck off, nuts. Sir.
Yeah. So fucking A. So on September 20th, if you've got absolutely nothing better to do, you can head to one of 50 AMC theaters nationwide to watch the 2026 Rocket League World Championship. It's going to be 9 hours long. I don't know how much tickets cost. But the event also features a limited edition collectible ticket, and that has a code for Rocket League cosmetics.
Okay,
so
that's a choice people could make.
Halloween the Game just came out, and the devs patched out a sex game almost immediately.
Oh yeah,
because they realized that Donald Pleasance, his character, who's like 54 years old at the time, could have sex with 17-year-olds, so they quickly got rid of that because there was no other way around it. So I thought that was pretty amusing, but also good on the devs for realizing that's creepy as shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I that was definitely like something that they probably hadn't considered or tested in QA. So and then the last bit of news I have, actually no, I have two more last bits of news. Street Fighter, the official graphic novel of the movie, is going to be launching soon on Kickstarter. There's like three different covers that you can get for it. You have the ability to get the hardcover version of it, along with it signed by a bunch of the comic creators. And then if you spring for like the hunt, I think it's like $180. The guy who plays M. Bison in the movie is also going to sign it for you. So that's kind of cool, and I was thinking about getting it, then I saw the price and I was like no. And then last actual bit of price? News,
180.
Oh, $40. Oh, like $40 for the book, but like 180 for everyone to sign it. Which I just straight up do not have.
Yeah.
And then the last bit of news I have, they have revealed the title of the Legend of Zelda movie.
Yeah, we covered that one.
Fuck you. We're going to cover it again.
We already did. It doesn't have we've a subtitle.
Hold on. We've covered it twice already?
We covered it in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Oh my God. Well, guess what? We're covering it again.
No.
It doesn't live have a action subtitle. Film,
Legend of Zelda.
Okay, doesn't have a subtitle.
April 30th, 2027.
Doesn't have a subtitle.
Doesn't have a subtitle. April 30th, 2027. There we go. I covered it.
Didn't even play the fucking movie watch thing over it, you dick.
I already played movie watch.
That was for a different one.
What? No, I don't have to play movie watch for every single thing related to the movies.
If they're broken up, yeah.
No, they weren't broken up. It started with Rocket League. I talked about
that. Then you talked about a book.
No, I talked about Halloween, and then I talked about Street Fighter, like the graphic novel, which is related to, the movie.
But it's a
game. I as much as I hate to say it, I'm with Jacob on this.
Yeah, and game. Then I talked that about wasn't the Legend a movie of Zelda.
Watch news.
The book was for the Kickstarter.
That, so should we dive into reviews?
Sure.
Yay, nay, everyone ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Jacob, you good?
Eat it, my ass.
Doesn't have a subtitle, Jacob.
Eat my ass, Electric Boogaloo.
No, that was the name of day two of the Nintendo Direct. Did you miss that part too?
It was in the first 5 minutes, yeah, apparently.
All right, let's move on to reviews. We got a handful of games to talk about tonight. First up, Angeline Era, developed and published by Analgesic Productions. It released September 2nd, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $24.99. Explore a secret-filled land in this 3D action-adventure where every surprising level is hidden in plain sight. Travel and fight through a vast, unmarked overworld. Aki, Bree, both of you played this. Bree, start us off. What is Angeline Era?
So if you're unfamiliar with Analgesic Productions, they've made some games with interesting worlds like Anodyne, Sephany, and even The Ocean. And most of their games have a retro visual style, whether it's pixel art or low poly, and this is no different. The story follows Tets Kinoshita. I don't remember how to say that. But he was called to the land of Era by an angel. We're commanded to find the 9 bicones that are held by monsters, and there's this Fae princess who is up to some tricks, so it seems. But the angels are just trying to get their shimmer back, and the throne that may be the place holding it is encased in a violent storm that only the bicones can cut through. But are the Fae the real enemy? Are the angels telling the truth? You'll have to play to find out, because I don't want to spoil things. Conversational text is done in boxes next to character avatars. We mostly see the avatars for major characters like Tets and the angel, and the Fae queen or princess or whatever. And they're a different art style than the rest of the game. It's kind of like your standard avatar kind of art. Pretty cool. There are 6 difficulty levels in this, from low to dev challenge mode, and achievements for beating the game on those top 3 difficulties. I tried a few different difficulties out because you can change at almost any time in the pause menu. On your first run through, you can play, like you can switch it from low to medium to high. I couldn't go any higher than high, which is fine, 'cause ouch. This game is a 3D top-down view that will allow you some freedom of movement while showing you doors and windows and other items in perspective. The overworld map has things hidden in plain sight, mostly, and finishing certain areas unlocks others. You can hold the Y button on suspicious-looking entryways in forests, for example, and you can find levels to conquer. There will be a little mini-game where you dodge or attack, like, branches and the like to get to your level. And then you have a few monsters and some puzzle elements in your actual level. In the mini-game, you have to kind of, like, hurry. You appear to take damage as time goes by, but you also take damage if you make the wrong motion, and then you don't progress. So you need to press up to go over brambles or to the side to avoid trees and down to duck, and you have to time your attacks on enemies. And if you run out of health, you don't get into the level. Yay.
Yay.
Levels are there to break up the space from the overmap, where you get a repeatable map you can play through with various elevations and side rooms to get through. And sometimes there are puzzles, and I use that word loosely. Like getting a sniper to kill enemies on the other side of a fence that you can't jump over before killing the sniper so that the door will open. Speaking of killing enemies, you only have one kind of basic attack, and it's a little odd. It's called bump slashing. You have a sword, but you just bounce into the enemy to attack, and your sword comes out. You can also jump and bounce, which is useful for avoiding some enemy attacks like beams. With your bounce, you might also take damage, because some enemies are spiky, and you have to time your attacks to not take damage, or you can also shoot them. I eventually found a gun in one of the levels, so I started blasting, and it's used with the right trigger, and only shoots up on the screen, no matter which way you're facing. So if you want to use it, you have to orient yourself and the enemy, and then you have to have the reticle move to where they are in the general direction of up that you want it to go. And this will be required for some puzzles to get out of a room or a level. You only have limited ammo, though, to make this more complicated, obviously. But you can bump slash certain things to raise the blue meter next to your health bar to get your ammo back. Really, I think I just need to explain that combat in this game is more like solving a puzzle than it is doing battles with your finger on buttons for action. There are no random encounters in the overmap, no big grind to do, just explore and figure things out. You can also equip artifacts that you find or purchase. I think I also forgot to mention with the bump slashing, this is how you talk to people and buy things. You bump into them. So to purchase, you bump into the item you want, and then you bump into the seller. If you mistakenly hit something, and you will, you'll have to walk out of the building and come back in. I found this to be pretty strange and inefficient, as was most of the rest of the game for me. There is food you can buy and find that you can use at mirror stations to raise your health. Mirror stations work as a save station. It also, like, it creates an autosave. And they often show up like right before a boss or the beginning of a level, and it'll allow you to change your equipped weapons and gun parts and artifacts and eat some food and stuff. Boss fights are complicated. I wrote that in all caps. and even chaotic. One boss, I think, was it was the Horsey Twins. I think that was the first one I came to. It had several kinds of attacks going on with, like, a stomp and a beam, and it would put you out, like, there would be, like, a moving sword, and then there's, like, a skull thing, and you can't do damage to them, but they will do damage to you, and you just kind of have to wait it out for its turn. Like, the sword kind of rotates around him, and then the skull chases you, and then the boss would do this move after you got to half health that would gravity suck you in and insta-kill you. And it took me a while to figure that out, and I actually almost gave up on the game after several attempts on easy. The gun boss had way too much going on hard. You had to shoot with your limited ammo across the gap, but be careful not to accidentally press up thinking you have to do that to shoot, or you'll fall into a giant gaping cavern or something between you and the boss. And then he'll shoot rockets at you. And then there's also a pong game going on across the middle of the gap that you have to try and keep going, because, like, you have to move the paddle on your side while dodging rockets, because you basically don't want to get hit by the pong ball, because it'll do damage to you. But if you can manage to knock it back to the other side and the boss isn't paying attention, it does damage to him, and it's bigger damage than your gun is going to do, like, whittling him down. And then you can, like, attack the rockets to get ammo. You can, on hard, there's these little laser-generating robots that will pop up on your side, and you have to, like, hit them to get your ammo back and slowly kill them while jumping over the laser beam, so that it was kind of, oh my god. And then I was like, oh right, I had this on hard, so I put it on easy and finished the boss. It removed the laser beams. Anyway, it was complicated and chaotic. Sometimes you get your bicones for boss fights, other times you get scales, and you use those in a special space to upgrade your character. There were some other things you could do, like get compost and plant things around the world. You could use them to summon a goat mount that'll help you find more hidden places. There's a sleep mechanic where you enter a dream world and you can explore and change the world, and you get some of those compost, and you upgrade your character. And I haven't unlocked all the things in there, but I found it was fun to explore. I looked on the Steam page for more info of people who completed the game. I only got so far because I was struggling with several mechanics. And it looks like the dev's own assessment of the game completion time is around 20 to 30 hours of playtime for your first playthrough. So, yeah, but that's, you know, like, assuming that you want to explore the world and find all the things, and that's your first playthrough. If you want to get all the achievements, say, because you're playing on Xbox or something, you're going to need to play through it more than once, because there's achievements to get through this on dev mode.
Oh, no.
So to sum up a little, this game is about the joy of discovery and the challenge of figuring things out. You aren't fed fighting strategies. You'll have to die, and try again. Analgesic has again created a well-crafted, odd world that you want to explore and find out what the actual fuck is around the next corner. But again, at least for me, the gameplay left something to be desired.
Do you know where the bump attacking comes from?
I do not.
The East games, the early East games, you would just bump into your enemy.
Okay.
And that's how you attacked in those games.
All right. Aki, yeah. You have thoughts?
Yeah, this game's... I agree with you on the harder difficulties. This game is ridiculously hard. I reviewed this way back when, and I didn't know the difference of the difficulties, and I started it on the hardest difficulty, where you're not allowed to upgrade your character's health or anything. But I mean, I got through at least as far as Bree apparently did. So. Because I knew all the bosses she mentioned.
Yeah.
Because I had already beaten them. The hardest boss for me was that first fish boss. Just because you only start off with so little health and you can't increase it. And there's just so many fish in that fight. Yeah. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, that first fish fight was interesting. I totally forgot about the fish. It's like fish with lasers, and they spin around, and every time you defeat a wave of fish, it duplicates the amount, and so you end up with like 78 fish or something stupid on the screen, all shooting lasers, and you have to like,
Yeah, and on the hardest difficulty, you, what is it, one light, or I think you can take three hits or something in total, that entire boss fight. You don't get any increased in health, no checkpoints. If you die, you just start back at the beginning, because fuck you. It took me over an hour just to beat that one boss. It was so fucking hard. I thought I was just bad at the game. Then I realized, oh no, I'm just playing it on the hardest possible difficulty. Yeah. Okay. And then I felt good about it. I still haven't beaten it because it is fucking hard, but it's fun. I like searching around on the map because you leave an area and then you have this overworld map, which is then you get to walk around on it and you get to find new locations on it that you get to enter. And that's just really interesting because you actually get to change the map as you're doing stuff as well.
Yeah.
So like one area might be blocked off, but in one of the levels you can get rid of that blockage and suddenly in the overworld it's open. I loved it. I thought it was really cool. I really liked the game.
All right. Well, let's talk price. It clocks in at $25 now that it is on console. What does everyone think of Angeline Era?
Aki, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm totally for it. Just be aware when you go into this, it's hard as fuck. As long as you're cool with that, I think this is totally worth buying. I really like this game.
Yeah, so this is one of those games I had a hard time rating. Just because I didn't particularly care for it doesn't make it a bad game. Like, it's got the feel of an RPG world, the aesthetics of a PlayStation game, and a unique combat system.
Unique.
I know. I enjoyed exploring their strange and wonderful world, but I struggled to find my place in it. So I'm going to give this a try. Like, if you like their other works and you want to try this one, like, if you've never played an analgesic game, this is surprisingly accessible, even if it is a little strange. The price at first seems a little steep for what I'm used to seeing from them, but I'm also not used to seeing like 30-hour clock time for playthroughs. And but it has a launch sale right now on Xbox, so give it a look.
Very good. Moving on, we got some Arcade Archives games to talk about. Jacob, you ready?
Yes.
Yay. First up is Arcade Archives 2, Arkanoid, Revenge of Doe, developed and published by Hamster Corporation. Released September 2nd, Xbox Series X and S, Switch 2, and PS5 for $9.99. Arkanoid, Revenge of Doe is a brick breaker released by Taito in 1987. The sequel to Arkanoid is back and more powered up than ever. While retaining the core gameplay of bouncing the energy ball to shatter space walls, it introduces brand new systems including branching paths into L&R versions and an increased variety of items. Only you can stop the dimension-controlling force Doe, which has crossed dimensions to invade our universe. Jacob, what is going on in Arcade Archives 2, Arkanoid, Revenge of Doe?
So many like arcade game sequels, like pretty much it's just like the same exact thing with like a new coat of paint slapped on it. And I honestly, I appreciate what Arkanoid 2 is kind of doing with this, because I mean, first off, there's apparently a plot to these games. Heck if I know, but anyway, so as you had mentioned, yeah, there are branching pathways. And so what happens is that even when you complete a level, or when you get a B pill, which I think stands for break. I mean, I don't know what else it could stand for, but so there's these like two doors that'll appear on either side of the bottom of the screen, and you have to choose left or right, and that'll determine, you know, what your next screen is going to look like. And otherwise, it plays pretty similar to other Arkanoid, like, I mean, like the previous Arkanoid title. It has, of course, some new power-ups and enemy types, and there's also some bricks. Like, there's these silver bricks that will take several hits to destroy, which, like, I know it doesn't sound like that impressive, but, you know, it does add an extra element of challenge to the game. And then there's also these other bricks that just suck, and I hate them, because you can hit them once, and then, like, pew, they disappear, and then they regenerate again. And so, like, that nice little hole that you could have just opened up to, like, you know, get a ton of bricks and, like, you know, hopefully clear out the stage, that thing will come in and just be like, haha, no. But, yeah, it is Arkanoid. It is a brick breaker game, which, if you're not familiar with, you have a paddle at the bottom of the screen, and there's a ball that you have to hit, and it bounces off of bricks at the top of the screen, and then it bounces back. You have to hit it, so on and so forth. Like, and occasionally this game will throw enemies at you that'll come down and, you know, touch your paddle, and then, or your ship, my bad, it'll touch your ship and then it'll blow up, and once you run out of lives, it's game over. So playing this, honestly, on the Xbox 360, like, I used to play so many Brick Breaker games, like, on my, like, Apple Macintosh back in the day when I was, like, a little kid, and I was fantastic at those games, and I'm just playing this thing, and I am getting smoked. Like, it is just, like, it is so dang hard on a modern controller to play these things, and I'm just, like, this is one of those times where I kind of wish I had, like, one of those arcade joysticks. I feel like I would do better, but probably not. But like, you are able to mess with your ship speed, so you can make it faster or slower, but other than that, it's just, you're really at the mercy of whatever pills, you know, fall down and what you're able to grab. Some of them will make it so your ship can shoot lasers. Other ones make it so you can catch the ball and then release it, so you can, like, aim it where you want it to go. Some of it will make your ship longer, or, like, mirror it, so then you have, like, you're controlling two ships at once. And I'm not gonna lie, like, I always hated that power up, because it just ended up getting, like, too damn confusing for me. And also, there's one that actually makes it shorter, which you think would really hamper your ability to get anything done. And you'd be absolutely right. It absolutely does. However, you get more points, like, for getting anything done with it, which, have fun, buddy. I did not do well with this game at all, but, like, it, like, the Arkanoid's a ton of fun. Like, it's addictive. You know what it is, you know what you're getting into, and hopefully you can, like, score as many points as you can. Much like the pinball title that we reviewed a couple of episodes back, this one, if you unlock achievements, it is going to screw you up, because the achievements will show up right at the bottom, right where your little ship is. And so, like, there were a few games that I just straight up lost because I popped an achievement. which is frustrating. But, yeah, you know, hey, once you pop that achievement, you're not going to pop it again. So, you know, as long as you continually suck, you're never going to have to see an achievement again. So, you know, catch 22 on that. But like many other Arcade Archives titles, this has a high score mode, caravan mode, and time mode on it, which of course then you can upload your scores and see how good you are compared to everyone else in the world. I saved myself the grief on the high score one. I'm not gonna look at my score because it's gonna be like, you know, people getting like 100,000 and there's Jacob getting 5.
Good.
Not 500, just,
yeah,
like,
I know,
5.
I know.
Yeah, 5. Yeah. So,
because you're bad.
Yeah, I am bad at it. But you know what? It's fun, and I'd recommend picking it up. Like, it's a classic arcade game, and I'm glad that it got brought back.
Very What's good. What's not to like about Arcade Void? Walks in at $10. What do you think of this one?
$10, that's a steal. Go for it.
Did you know the home versions of this game had a level editor?
I didn't. That could be pretty fun. Oh my god. I can't, like, thinking back to how much time, like, I spent in, like, you know, various games where it's like they had like level editors, or like, you know, SimCity where you can make like your own city and stuff like that. With the amount of time like that I used to spend like making up like levels and stuff like that, good lord, I can't imagine what I like what a time sink this game would have been for me.
Yeah, because it released on
It got an Apple II GS. Oh geez, so yeah. I would have been able to play it.
Commodore, Amiga, MSX2, Famicom, Spectrum, DOS. So, all right, we got another Arcade Archive game to. I'm not gonna.
You good?
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Next game, we got another Arcade Archives title to talk about with Arcade Archives 2 Wiz, developed and published by Hamster Corporation, released September 2nd, Xbox Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5 for $9.99. Wiz is an action game released by Seibu Kaihatsu in 1985. Play as Wiz, a wizard who controls 8 types of magic to fight from the depths to the land realm and finally to the sky realm. Defeat the monster standing in your way and make it to the sky realm to face off with a dragon. Jacob, what is Wiz?
It was also released as The Wiz, which has me really disappointed because I was hoping for a an adaptation of the, you know, the Michael Jackson musical of the, you know, Wizard of Oz Broadway adaptation. No? Nobody's seen it?
No, we've seen it.
I mean, who's seen The Wiz?
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Like, it's an amazing movie. I love it. Like, holy God. Like, when they...
Game. Oh, God. Game.
Fine, Bree, we could discuss The Wiz later. Anyway,
yes, Red is dead.
Yeah, thank you. That is actually the best part of the movie. Fucking yep. Phenomenal. Anyway, all right. So The Wiz, it's a run and gun game where you're playing as this wizard who has various magical abilities. Most of them are limited in use of like in how much you're able to use, but you're running through these levels. You're either trying to dodge or kill these like little enemies that are either after to kill you, or they're trying to grab this treasure, which you're also trying to grab because that gets you points and refills your magic and all that kind of stuff. Your wizard guy has the ability to jump. It took me a little bit to figure out how to make it work, because the game doesn't like it. It doesn't really make it clear what, like, what areas of the map you're actually able to jump on. So this was a lot of trial and error for me. And it's a pretty fun game, to be honest. Like, you start off on the land realm, which is considered to be like level 1. And you're just trying to rush to the end of it so you can get to the sky realm, which is where this dragon that you're trying to defeat is. However, if you jump and like fall at any point, or if you get hit by certain enemies, it'll actually knock you back into this area called the Depths, which is kind of like an underworld stuff. And you have to work your way out of the Depths to go to the land realm and then get back into the sky realm. Because the game really wants to, like, you know, make you suffer with all of this. Yeah, like, it's honestly a pretty fun game. It's fairly addictive, to be honest. Once you figure out how everything works, I was a little surprised with, like, you know, the various types of magic and how you're able to select them, because we had that I forget the name of it. It was like a week or two ago. It was like that ninja game where you're like, you could select like whatever your, like, your extra weapon is. And it was a little difficult to manage like your choices on the fly. Wiz actually makes it pretty easy. And I was kind of surprised by that with, like, how, you know, how quickly I was able to change what magic power I wanted to be using at the time. And so, yeah, like, it's just run to the end of the level, get to the next one. Hopefully you'll beat the dragon. And then if you do beat the dragon, then you get popped back to level one again and you have to do it all over again. So
this game is a prime example of why I love the Arcade Archive series, because I've never heard of this one in my life.
Same. I don't know of it either. And apparently it only came out on arcade and MSX. Yeah. So, like, we weren't, yeah. Like,
and this is one of the early Arcade Archives titles. It looks like it originally came out in 2020 on PS4 and Switch, and now it has expanded to additional platforms, and we get it on Xbox as well. And I'm very happy that Hamster is going back and re-releasing some of the old Arcade Archives games, because there are so many that we need to catch up on. Like, I'm still hoping we get Tetris Grandmaster Ace, but I don't have high hopes for that one. Or Jackal. I want Jackal so bad.
That is.
Did you see what this week's is?
No.
Karnov.
Karnov.
Hell yeah.
I don't even know what that is. Karnov?
Karnov? You don't know Karnov? Oh, no, my God. K-A-R-N-O-V. Fire-breathing Russian. My friend made a shot in a shot competition called the Fire-breathing Russian, where it was bottom shelf vodka and chipotle sauce, named after Karnov.
He later shows up in Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja, where he's the boss of the first level, and he's also in Fighter's History.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited about Karnov. I'm looking forward to hearing on that one. But moving on, next game is Dexter Stardust Adventures in Outer Space, developed by Dexter Team Games, published by Flynn's Arcade. It released September 2nd, Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Dexter Stardust Adventures in Outer Space is a classic point-and-click adventure game set in a colorful, humorous sci-fi universe. Players explore planets, interact with characters, collect and use items, and solve logical puzzles across more than 100 unique scenes. Which, Aki, if I am correct, that is our 900th usage of unique.
Wow.
God damn it.
900 since October 22. So, Bree, I gotta know, is this game unique?
I don't know about that, but this is, as the write-up says, a point-and-click adventure. It is also episodic. There are four full episodes, along with a bonus episode zero, that serves as a kind of tutorial. And they all sound like the titles of 1950s B sci-fi movies, with names like The Robot from Planet X and Hidden Secrets of the Moon. And the artwork for them looks about the same. Underneath their tiles, you can see each episode's approximate length, amount of story, or puzzle saturation. And I believe you can play them in any order, but you'll miss out on some of the story since the episodes tie into each other with a little teaser at the end of each one. There's like little cliffhangers. Each episode has opening credits and a cinematic intro. Our heroes are Dexter and Aurora, And they are space age delivery drivers in this future, Mexican food is huge. We start off our first adventure at a Space Del Taco drive-through, and then we go off to Venus to deliver a package. Dexter can't follow the path like a normal person, so he forges his own path, and that is most of our gameplay for that episode. First, we have to overcome a tentacle on the path, then we need to get across a rope and board bridge, and finally deliver the package. Easy peasy, right? Dexter and Aurora work for Dexter's Uncle Jetto. Aurora seems pretty smart and straight-laced. Dexter is a bit all over the place, and he serves as our comic relief. Some aliens are looking for Dexter because he may hold a secret he is unaware of. Earth was destroyed when Dexter was a teenager, and his adventurer dad supposedly died along with it. We don't know about his mom, but, you know, I don't want to give spoilers either. Dexter only narrowly escaped with his uncle. It's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy was mixed with, like, some Futurama or even Spaceballs. That's a good way to describe the story. Some episodes have more story than others, and sometimes it feels a bit too much like watching and not enough like playing. So I guess some of the episodes are kind of like watching a TV show with bits of playing in the middle, which is not necessarily a bad thing, just feels like a lot of exposition at times. The general story beats of the game are like, go to a planet, deliver something, get into trouble, and puzzle your way out. But there's like a bigger connected story going on. While episodic, it doesn't feel like a monster of the week kind of thing. Your central hub of the game is usually your ship, which is a really boxy ship that has wings, like the Eagle 5 Winnebago and the Planet Express ship had a baby. It's mustard yellow. I don't know why that was a color choice. The controls in this are well done. Since this is point and click, we move around and interact with things based on hotspots, and then you have buttons you can press to look, use, pick up, and talk to. And you can try talking to posters, but usually you want to like read or look at posters. And it'll you know, make little jokes about how you can't talk to things or you shouldn't pick things up or touch things inappropriately and so on. One of the nice things about this particular game is that if you already have an item you need, it'll sometimes automatically use it during conversations, like where I had a s'more kit ready to exchange for a book of Proverbs that I needed to open a door. But to use an item otherwise, you use the left bumper to bring up the menu and then select an item, and then left bumper again to lower the menu for you to use something. And you can also examine items in your item screen, like the Book of Proverbs, so you can learn that a rock in the water doesn't know the pain of the rock in the sun. That was one of the Proverbs. Seriously, it was weird. And then lastly, you can combine items on the item screen by selecting one and dragging it to another. Pretty standard point-and-click fare. About the puzzles, sometimes they make clear sense, like using a board to make a bridge, or putting cheese and some kind of sleeping herb together to make a trap, to collect a rat, to scare a guy who hates rats out of his seat, so you can then pick up a flotation device you'll need for later to switch out with a self-inflatable parachute. It's complicated. You know, that's how these games go. Sometimes items only make sense if you read the words like sharp on the metal fish. Clearly that's going to be used for cutting something. And other times, they felt a bit far-fetched and silly, but that's kind of part of the point-and-click genre. But I almost never felt like I was throwing spaghetti at a wall to see if it would stick, and I appreciate that. Like, everything made pretty much sense. The voice acting in this is pretty good. If not a little stereotypical sometimes, a bit of a caricature sometimes. Sometimes the audio sounded a little bit off, though, like they were not recorded at the same levels. Mm. Yeah, there is some good fourth wall breaking. The music in this space future is apparently surf rock. Given the 50s sci-fi vibe, I didn't hate it. The art style is like animated comic style. I liked it. They were going for like a cartoon realism I thought was well done. Dexter had a 5 o'clock shadow. It was a good detail to his costume. The landscapes were excessively foreign, like retrofuturism almost. And there were lots of details to look at in the 100 available scenes across the episodes without being busy and overwhelming. I like this one.
Very good. Sounds like it is an entertaining one. It clocks in at $10. As a launch sale for $7.99, I can't see how long it was for.
Heck yeah. To
see if it shows on the... doesn't show how many days.
I think the regular price is fantastic on this. You get a good amount of game. I love the episodic nature. I felt like this could be played by a younger audience or someone new to the genre, and they would feel successful with ease. Kept my attention from start to finish. It's funny. The fourth wall breaking is great. The little in jokes that you have on certain choices about, you know, like, oh, I should, you know, distract you kind of, I don't know. It was very funny. And now I really just want more tacos thinking about this game. It's a buy it.
Very good. Yeah. Works for me. Let's move on to Shoe It All, developed by Amberbyte, published by Bright Gambit, released September 3rd on Series X and S for $7.99. Play as Lace, a rebellious teenager who refuses to fit into a world of rules, order, and boring authority. This funny physics puzzle adventure turns every level into a destructible playground. Swing, aim, and fling your shoes to outsmart grumpy neighbors, rule-obsessed adults, and greedy bosses in a colorful world built for chaos. Jacob, what is Shoe It All?
So Shoe It All is a pretty interesting physics game that looks absolutely... like, I mean, first off, like, I think a lot of people are going to look at it and just shrug it off and be like, oh, this looks like a mobile game. Blah, blah, blah. And it looks very deceptively easy. However, as you progress through this thing, it's definitely not. You're playing this kid who, you know, like so many of us as kids, like we had like one shoe that, you know, the laces weren't tied too tight and like we'd fling it off at, like as far as we could, you know, just to see like what we could hit with stuff. I mean, at least I did. I mean, you did this too, right, Joe?
What, fling things?
Well, like when you were on a swing, like you were on a swing set. Yeah. Like, I mean, either you'd fling like your shoe or. Yeah. Yeah. In real life. When you were a kid. You were a kid once, right, Joe?
No, I was spawned into
a... You just came out as a 40-year-old man?
I did. It was weird. My mom was not happy, man. It was... Oh.
I mean, damn, I figured you were an ugly baby, but Jesus. Okay. Well, anyway. Damn, all right, so...
You're an ugly baby. Damn, what an ugly-ass baby. Sorry.
So, anyway, so the game, you know, kind of holds your hand at the very beginning, and you have very simple targets that you're supposed to hit. And with this, there are various goals. Now, the game won't tell you what the goals are until after you've completed the level, which then, if you haven't met all of them, you'll want to go back and, you know, complete them, because the more goals you get, the like it... You end up collecting various stuff, which helps unlock other levels later on. And of course, you can't progress beyond the level that you're on if you don't beat it within a certain amount of shoes that get thrown. And so some levels get absolutely ridiculous. So you've got like a pile of like 40 shoes right next to you for the kid to fling off. But it's all sorts of stuff. Like, you're trying to break a window in a house, or you're trying to knock an apple out of a tree, or you're trying to knock a guy off of his Segway. And so what ends up happening is that you have to like really start timing everything and try to figure out, you know, what speed do you need to get at and what time do you need to like launch your shoe off of your foot, to make it so like, it won't arc too high that you miss it, but also it's not going to hit the ground immediately. And then the game will throw in other stuff, like kind of like a rocket pack for your shoe, which will then, you know, make it, it's not like a rocket pack. It's more like a firework.
That's how I got the achievement for shooting a shoe 40 meters into the air.
Oh, really? I got mine on the, there's one where you have to, knock avocados off of this like magnetic assembly line. And, they're swinging around and stuff. And your shoes magically have magnets in them. for this. But anyway, like mine, I didn't quite hit it enough like for it to catch, but then it just like flung off into like the nether, and that's how it popped for me. But yeah, it's equally satisfying and frustrating, but like it's also super addictive because like once you know what you're supposed to be doing on it and like the goals that get set for you, where it's just like complete this in two shoes, like you're like, all right, how could I do this so I only have to like do that, like, you know, get it in two shoes. And like I remember one level that I spent a lot of time on, you had to knock out these windows with three shoes total, I think. And it was just like you had to knock out some of the scaffolding in front of the window before you could even hit the window itself. And yeah, it was just like I kept getting this one plank of wood right in front of like where I needed the shoe to go. And so it was so much trial and error just to figure that one out. But yeah, like, and as you get farther in the game, you can also unlock secret levels in it. Like I'm not going to tell you how to unlock like one, but, it gets kind of devious, like how they've hidden some stuff in there. And you'll appreciate, being able to discover them. Like you feel like you actually achieved something in this game. But yeah, there's like a lot of levels to it, and it's a huge time suck. Like I hate physics games for the most part. Like my kids love Human Fall Flat. That game drives me up the absolute wall with that thing. But this one, like, I'm just like, hell yeah. Like I could do this all day, like, and not get bored. Yeah, I'm having fun with it. So it looks simple.
I really enjoy this one. I love how goofy it is. And I love how badly it makes you want to get the perfect score on every level.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I go back and like every single one, I get it. Even like the boss battles. Like I'm just like,
I was proud of getting that first boss battle and getting all the Apple stickers. Like I was so proud that I got that.
Yeah, the one where you have to hit the apple tree three times.
Yeah.
Or her in the apple tree. Yeah.
Without her stealing any of your shoes.
Oh, my God. That was so tough. It really is.
It was. But it's fun as hell. And I am. Yeah. I think I am with you on this one. I'm $8. Let me know what you think.
Really? That's it?
$8.
Yeah, totally.
$7.99.
$8. Totally worth it. Get it.
I agree. This is an absolute buy it on my end. This is a really fun surprise. I was not expecting to enjoy this one as much as I did, but it really...
I wasn't either. Yeah.
All right. So, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Cats Around Us, Black Cat, developed by Noobzilla, published by our friends at Silesia Games. Released September 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, September 10th on Switch 1 and 2 for $2.99. This black cat has mastered the art of camouflage. Can you spot him? Cats Around Us, Black Cat is the second part of the series where you search for hidden furballs inside a 5-page silent comic. Follow a super sweet story about a man and his sneaky black kitty who just loves blending into the shadows. Bree, you were checking this one out, but we are doing something fun for this review.
Correct. Yes, we are. Yes.
Tell us, what the hell are we forcing you to do?
So in front of me, I have this little box. You can see the picture in the Discord. It's the Lil Nitro World's Hottest Gummy Bear. And I have it's a pretty hefty packaging for this little gummy bear. But this is a 9 million Scoville heat unit gummy bear of capsaicin concentrated into this gummy bear form. If you guys don't know what that means in context, the hottest pepper by itself, I think, is the Reaper, is around 3 million on the Scoville scale. This is 9 million concentrated into a little gummy bear. And he's kind of cute. He's a little red gummy bear. He's like a normal size gummy bear. And he has like an evil little smile, and he's holding a piece of dynamite. And so this is 900 times hotter than a jalapeno pepper. Let's see if I can get this packaging open. It's like, there we go. I'm doing it in front of the microphone here. Hope you guys can hear it. There we go. All right. So
injury, the toilets in your house, you have my condolences.
Yeah, I'll be fine. So this is made by the
dog sitting, so she's on her own tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, this is made by the Flamethrower Candy Company. I've also done their Toe of Satan challenge, so this should be very little different other than the swallowing a lot more stuff here than I did probably with the Toe of Satan. So here goes nothing. I'm going to just put this in my mouth and chew, and then we're going to try and do a review. Right, you want to set that timer up?
Yeah, let me know when it goes in, because as soon as I hit OK, it starts.
All right. Here we go. Oh, it's hard to chew. Shit. Hmm. It's not as soft as a normal gummy bear.
No. When did it come in?
Oh, it's in. Yeah, we're chewing.
No, I mean, when did it show up at your house come in type thing?
What?
When did it come in, the gummy?
Oh, I got it like last week.
That's not long enough. It shouldn't be hard. Interesting.
Yeah.
It might just be the kind of gummy bear it is, but tell us.
It's actually really tasty. It's got like a fruity flavor to it, which is better than the Toe of Satan. It's getting hotter as I chew, but I haven't gotten it chewed enough to really swallow.
You got to get to the ooey gooey core. Right.
Now that I've swallowed, I am feeling the heat. Let's talk about Cats All Around Us.
All right, tell us, what is Cats All Around Us, Black Cat? Silesia, I hope you enjoy this one.
So this is the next installation in the Cats Around Us series of games from Newzilla, and I'm excited. Because it's all about black cats. And I love me some house panthers. House panthers, I can say that word. Shout out to my sweet boy Dirham. This is a hidden cat game with more than 300 things to find across 5 comic style pages. In addition to finding cats, you'll need to find jigsaw puzzle pieces that give you a little variety to your puzzling. You need to do the jigsaw to the next level to unlock it. So you know what the picture looks like. My eyes are getting a little blurry here. Hold on. when you pet a cat or select it, you get a cute little blurb about the cat that pops up and the name of the cat parent. And of course, there are tons of meows. Gotta swallow some saliva here. Ooh.
Doing good?
Yep. I breathed in too quickly, and that was spicy in the back of my throat.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. You can zoom in and out very easily with the trigger buttons to help you narrow down your search. There are hints built into this game on a timer. No penalty to use them if you need them. And there's really no time pressure to this game either. So if you want an added challenge, there is a stopwatch mode you can use to try and find all the cats quickly and beat your old time. Some of the cool things about the Noobzilla games is the ability to change all the colors and music. You can change the line color, the fill, the cat selection fill. So, of course, I changed my lines to purple, my cat selection fill to goldenrod. And the music on this is delightful. And even if you don't like one of the tracks, you could just change it on your record player. Something else. You got things like Tabby Dream, Seek the Fluff Ball, Swing the Whiskers to listen to. And there are 6 tracks in total. Some other fun things are that you can change your cursor to things like carrots, leeks, and lollipops. To have a little fun petting cats with things other than just a finger. And if you want, you can paint the scenes in a photo mode and take a picture to screenshot for later. A couple things I think that would make the game better. Switch the X and the Y button on the jigsaw puzzle so I'm not accidentally trying to reset my puzzle progress on X and can rotate rotate it while I'm moving it instead of, like, because you drag the button with A. You drag the piece. I'm losing my place here. I brought napkins down just so I could blow my nose when I'm done here. But yeah, so if you hit the X button, it'll reset it. If you hit Y, it rotates it. And if you're trying to hold A and Y at the same time, like, or press Y at the same time and rotate, it's really awkward. That's what I'm trying to say. And then there were some delayed achievement pops. Not sure what causes those, but that's really my only criticism on the game. I had a ton of fun with it.
Very good. Well, clocks in. $2.99. I'm trying to drag this out. So that
I know we got like...
You still have 40 seconds on the timer.
Oh, so, I'm good.
So, yeah. Like, are there any dogs in this game?
There's no dogs in this game. There's cute cats everywhere.
What about capybaras?
No, just cats. Just cats. Mm. Black, a lot of black cats, but not all black cats.
Lions?
Some big black cats, no lions.
Tigers?
No, they're all domestic cats.
Bears, oh my. Bears,
oh my.
All right, well, it clocks in at a whopping wallet draining $299. If you buy it in the next 2 weeks, you can take advantage of their launch sale and buy it for $239 because $3 is somehow too expensive for you. What are your thoughts on Cats Around Us, Black Cat?
Well, we know I can't resist a hidden cat game, but I also just love the series. There's no pressure. It's cute. The art is fun. I love being able to change the colors and hear all the meows. The price is great. Buy it.
Very good. And you made 5 minutes.
I did. And I'm pretty okay. I'm pretty good. I mean, it's I'm not going to lie. It's hot, but it's not like, you know, me gagging and stuff. It's more like the occasional, you know, I breathed in a little too much and got that, like, you know, cool breeze on the back of the spiciness. It was like, ooh, hey, that's cough worthy.
I hope you saw Carnage say that you breathed in too.
Oh, yeah.
Breathed in.
Yeah, I did not see that, but yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's Scotty. Of course it was pretty bad. I mean...
But yeah, I haven't needed to have a drink yet. I have my drink next to me if I really need to, but pretty good. I mean,
so you survived the 5 minute challenge.
I survived the 5 minute challenge. I mean, I know you can only do so much to view that on a podcast, but I mean, I talked the whole time so that I didn't have any time to take a drink or anything. So yeah, it's it was actually, like I said, this one was surprisingly tasty. It had like that fruity flavor to it. Good to eat, obviously, but not too bad. That was very cool. Thank you, Joe. Well,
ready for one final game?
Let's do it.
All right. Last game to talk about tonight is Brain Rot Cart, developed and published by Skibidi Studios. It released September 3rd as an Xbox Play Anywhere game for $239. Brain Rot Cart is a chaotic multiplayer kart racer for up to 8 players inspired by internet meme culture and fast-paced arcade racing. Players compete across absurd tracks such as the back rooms while using outrageous power-ups to sabotage opponents and fight for first place. The game combines accessible kart racing mechanics with the humor and unpredictability of modern online culture. Jacob, you and I both played this, and I didn't hate this.
Yeah, no, I didn't hate it either. I thought it was, to be honest, I thought it was a rather interesting title. And I didn't exactly know quite what to make of it.
Well, before we go into it, the devs were nice enough to get us an extra copy of the game so we can give it away to someone in chat. Should we do that right now? And
let's go ahead.
Giveaway draw. The winner of a copy of Brain Rot Cart goes to BX Latino Heat.
Woot.
Latino Heat, you will get yourself a copy of the game. Thank you to Skibidi Studios for hooking us up with the keys. Jacob, tell us, what exactly is Brain Rot Cart?
So a lot of it, I mean, all of it is based on internet culture, and keep in mind that this game is rated T for teen, likely because of a bunch of the references, to various things on here. So pretty much all the cart characters are based on various memes, which unfortunately I'm too old. And, like, despite the fact that, like, there was a period of time where I just straight up lived on the internet and, like, I watched memes, like, get created and die within, like, the span of a week and stuff like that, I am now, like, so far removed from that kind of culture that, like, I'm just looking at these and I'm like, most of these I don't even recognize.
I didn't understand 90% of the carts and the...
Well, here's the thing, like, my kids, which I was a little, like, how do you know about this kind of stuff? Because, like, we don't let them go on the internet, like, they don't...
They go to school, man.
Yeah, uh-huh. I know. And that's where they were like, oh, yeah, we saw it at school. And I'm like, well, I'm glad that private school was doing a lot of fucking good. So my kids were familiar with it, like with a bunch of the carts and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's that meme. And this is that meme and blah, 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 blah. And all of these different racers have they have different specs, as you might expect. Speed, acceleration, like, you know, how good they can corner and stuff like that. And like so many other kart racing games, of course, there's weapons, and they're all meme based. And again, like a lot of it is, I honestly, half the time I couldn't tell what the hell was going on. It's just like, oh, there's this meme that's across your screen right now, and like it's doing something. Like, and I couldn't quite tell what, like if it was slowing me down or if it's just there so I can't see everything that's going on in the screen at the time. And the levels were honestly kind of interesting. Like, I mean, like there's one based on the back rooms. And as I started looking at the titles, I made sure not to play this one around my kids. Like one of them has the phrase gooner in it. And I forget what the heck the other one was that I was just like, because my kids are like 12 and 9, like, you know, and I don't really feel like having to explain to a 9-year-old what a gooner is at this point in my life. But yeah, like the various levels, like they're pretty well made. And like, there's one that's the back rooms, that like, just like the back rooms, guess what? It's easy to get lost in that thing. And the game does have racer AI on it. So you can play against a bunch of bots if you don't have anybody to play against. But there is online multiplayer for it. However, it's all like room based. Like you can't just randomly join a game. You have to have like a room code for it. So, you know, hopefully you can find some friends that are willing to shell out like $1.99, $2.39, whatever it costs on Xbox.
My biggest gripe with this game is I don't think this is going to be blatantly obvious when I say it, but they didn't take this seriously enough. Like, there's the bones of something decent underneath all the dumb bullshit on top of it. Like, I know it's meme culture, like the windows to distract people. I think that's a great idea. I don't think all the screaming and all the loud noises are helpful. I don't think
But like at the same time, it's not our meme culture. It's the youth.
I think that the concept has potential, but the execution is very lackluster in this, which is disappointing, because I think if they tried, they might be able to get something like legitimately worthwhile and legitimately, like, if they had any kind of single player course mode, like that you circuit mode where you don't have to select an individual track and race, like give me four tracks together and let me race them.
I can't imagine what kind of cups they would come up with.
Just give me some, like, kind of single player anything. Or
I mean, the nice thing about this is that there is crossplay with Epic Games. The devs got banned on Steam, supposedly for circumventing the review process. But I don't know the details on it. They just, like, that's what they said on the Steam page for this game. But it is playable on Epic Games. And so if you have friends who are playing it on that, you on Xbox can also play against them.
Yeah, if you could find an online game going.
Right. But I mean, like, the devs do seem to be updating this, like, you know, as they can. So I've got a feeling that this is very much a side project for them. I'd be interested in seeing what else they can come up with on this, or if, like, if they continue to update it. one of my concerns with it, to be honest. And that's because my background, like I used to deal with a lot of copyright law and fair use and stuff like that in one of my previous jobs. One of the images uses Spider-Man in it from one of the movies. And I would be concerned that Sony or Disney would come down with a hammer on that one. I mean, like, yeah,
oh, you I'm could sure argue, they will.
I mean, the thing is, you can Ooh. Argue that it's meme culture and, you know, it's been spread around so much, like, you know, it's out there in the open. But the thing is that this game doesn't exactly have fair use on its side because they're charging money for it. So the devs might want to remove that one, but no, at the same time,
that's up to them. Like that's
at, well, I know. I'm not, and it's not factoring into my final, like, you know, say so on this. I'm just saying, because part of this is that the game is also like a big, like, you know, middle finger to everything. Yeah. But at the same time, like, its own weird love letter to meme culture. So
the only other thing that really bugs me about this is, from what I'm told, this is basically built on AI, which is gross as fuck.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of the reviews on the Xbox page says that this is what the review says. The devs asked AI to make a game using 3DO hardware, then built pure insanity on top of the game, and the end result is this nightmare fuel.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't consider that as proof. I mean, that's like me saying, like, the movie Crank 2 High Voltage. Like,
I wanted to check the Steam page to see if there was an AI disclosure, but there is no Steam page anymore, so I wasn't able to verify
there's
anything.
There's a discussion board for it, but that's it. Yeah. But I mean, well, like, that's like me saying, oh, well, the budget for Crank 2 High Voltage was $20 million. $19 million of it got spent on cocaine. Like, you know, there may be some truth behind that, but, like, really? Like, I honestly don't. I'd be surprised.
I'm just going off what the review said.
I know, but I'd be surprised if this game was completely shat out with AI. Like,
well, I don't know. I'm just going off of what the review says, and there is no developer comment disputing anything, so there's nothing to go off of right now. That said, the game clocks in at a whopping 239. I think this kind of game is the epitome of fuck it, why not? It's $2. You could get 1,000 achievement points. And
we have spent so much worse, like, with $5 games. Like, yeah. This is a fuck it, why not? Like, is it great? No. But is it the worst thing that we've ever played either? No. Try it.
And I got achievements out of it. It's 239. Yay. It's not 2. It's 239.
Oh my god, shut up.
We have to be accurate. It's not $1.99. It's not. It's 40 cents more. I'll punch you in the dick.
Good. I'll enjoy it. I get off on that shit.
I won't. Cry. Well, anyway, yeah, we are done with this episode. Thanks to y'all three for being here. Music, I don't know what to play.
Something hot and spicy?
Like,
I have no idea.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's not happening. I like having a show not getting removed from YouTube for copyright restrictions.
Yeah.
Oh, Chili Peppers do not fuck around with their rights either. Does anyone have any suggestions?
No. I got nothing.
No, got nothing either.
Well, I guess it'll be a surprise to everyone.
Indeed.
Ooh.
Or wait, we had a Zelda Direct. We'll play some Legend of Zelda.
There you go.
There we go.
Or, you know, we talked about Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Legend of Zelda.
Damn it.